Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Legal Nurse Podcast 317, called Three Medical Malpractice Cases. Are they valid? I'm Pat Iyer with the newest edition of Iyer's Insights, one of the twice weekly shows of Legal Nurse Podcast. Before I start today's podcast, I want to share some exciting news that I'm assembling a mastermind for experienced legal nurse consultants. This group is designed to elevate each member's business, to provide support, new ideas, and a community for those who are building their businesses. If you'd like to find out if you're qualified to be a member of this group, contact me at patiyer@legalnursebusiness.com. And that's patiyer at legalnursebusiness.com. Today, I want to tell you about three cases. Is that okay with you? This is a chance for you to test your analytical abilities. Let's start with case number one. The 55-year-old plaintiff went through cervical surgery, and when she awoke, her left wrist was swollen and hurting. The staff told her it was nothing to worry about. She went home 3 days after surgery. Her wrist pain continued, and an X-ray was taken 2 days after discharge. It showed a comminuted fracture. The plaintiff continued to complain of wrist pain and claimed the fracture occurred during surgery. At trial, the hospital denied the injury was sustained during surgery and contended that following surgery, the medical record indicated that the plaintiff's grip strength was tested, and it was normal. The defendant presented an expert who theorized that the fracture likely occurred during a fall. How do you think this trial turned out? The jury returned a defense verdict. The surprising verdict of the jury made no sense to me. The patient went to surgery without a broken wrist. She woke up with a broken wrist. She was under the control of the surgical staff while anesthetized. What caused her fracture? Why didn't the physician order an X-ray when she complained of wrist pain? Can you have normal grip strength and still have a fracture? If the defense argued the patient fell, how and when did she fall? Did the fall take place in the operating room? This case is an example of one in which we will never know what happened to cause that fracture. I'm surprised the jury did not find negligence. Are you? This is Pat Iyer. As a legal nurse consultant, you play a crucial role in helping attorneys identify medical malpractice cases that are meritorious. There's a lot at stake in a medical malpractice case. The costs, the potential recovery for the plaintiff, and the reputations of the defendants. Using your medical knowledge and analytical skills, you're in a prime position to help attorneys understand the merits of a medical malpractice claim. You can be the light that guides the attorney to the meritorious claim. I have online training with a program called Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening. In this 90-minute webinar, you will discover how to establish the standard of care, how to identify theories of liability, how to use key elements of effective case screening, how to spot case winners and losers, and how to avoid pitfalls of medical record analysis. Join us for 90 minutes as two experienced legal nurse consultants and expert witnesses give you insider tips on the legal nurse consultant's role in the complex world of medical malpractice. Barbara Levin and I have combined 40-plus years reviewing cases as expert witnesses. We share our deep knowledge with you. You'll hear about our most memorable cases and what lessons you can learn from them. Order this 90-minute online training at the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and use the code LISTENED for a 25% discount off the program. Now back to the show. Here's case number two. An attorney client called me about the emergency medical services liability in this case. The mobile intensive care unit, staffed by an EMT and a nurse, was called to the home of Loretta and her daughter, Erin. The daughter had a seizure at home. The ambulance driver encouraged Loretta to come along in the ambulance to the hospital. Loretta said, "I'm feeling faint. I don't really want to go." But the ambulance attendant said, "You need to come with us and be with your daughter." Loretta got in the front of the ambulance in the seat next to the driver. They went to the hospital, unloaded Erin's stretcher, and took Erin into the emergency department. Loretta got into the hospital and fell faint. She fell and fractured her hip in the emergency department. Is there liability with the emergency medical services? Does this case meet the four elements of medical malpractice? And that's duty, breach of duty, proximate cause, and damages. The case of Loretta raises an interesting question. Did the squad members have a duty to Loretta? Who was the patient? The plaintiff attorney came to me before filing suit to ask me about the emergency medical services liability. Did the mobile intensive care staff have a duty to prevent Loretta's fall? The attorney representing Loretta wondered if the ambulance attendants had a duty to help her get out safely from the rig and into the hospital. Who was the patient of the rescue squad? Was that Loretta or was it Erin? Were the squad members responsible for what happened to Loretta? Who was the patient in the ambulance? Erin was the patient. Erin's seizure was the reason the squad came to the house. Loretta was not the patient, and she was in the ambulance because of her relationship with her daughter and the need to provide information about her when they arrived at the hospital. Loretta got out of the ambulance uninjured. She became a patient when she fell on the hospital property. She was no longer under the supervision of the EMT and the nurse at the time that they fell. Therefore, I concluded the emergency medical services liability was non-existent. They were not responsible for the injury. Did the attendants have a duty to Loretta? You might say that common courtesy would mean that the squad members would help Loretta get out of the rig, but she got out on her own. She fell in the emergency department. There was no duty between the attendants and the mother in that situation. Did the emergency department environment contribute to the fall? What caused her to fall in the emergency department? Was the staff negligent in causing her injuries? She told the plaintiff attorney she suddenly felt faint as she walked into the emergency department. This type of reaction could not be anticipated and occurred without warning. However, if the emergency department was cluttered, had wet floors, or in some way contributed to creating a dangerous environment, they could have been liable for the injuries. In one case that I reviewed as an expert witness, the woman was in an advanced stage of pregnancy and tripped over a wheelchair that was positioned in the path of people walking through a hallway. Someone positioned the wheelchair at right angles to the wall and left it with the foot pedals sticking out into the hallway. The pregnant woman did not see the pedals and tripped over the wheelchair. She landed on her knee and she had to have surgery for her injuries. The jury concluded that the emergency department staff had a duty to her as a visitor in the emergency department to maintain a safe environment. They breached their duty and their actions were the proximate cause of her injuries. They were negligent for creating a hazardous condition. In Loretta's situation, she fell because she felt faint. There was no evidence she tripped over a hazard or she slipped on water. There was no duty of the rescue squad because there was no patient relationship with her. She was not the patient, and there was no liability on the part of the emergency department. The outcome of this case was that the plaintiff's attorney decided to not file against the rescue squad, even though Loretta sustained a fractured hip and a lot of injuries. Remember, just because there are injuries does not mean there's not liability on the part of the emergency medical services. And here's case number three. Would you believe a patient who said a nurse or a physician's assistant told him to remove his own staples after he lacerated his leg? In this interesting case, a 68-year-old man went to the emergency department with a chainsaw laceration of his left knee. He developed a severe infection in his knee, which required surgery, intravenous antibiotics, and physical therapy. The plaintiff claimed that the antibiotics should have been given at the time of the initial emergency department visit and that they failed to diagnose a partial cut in his quadricep tendon. At trial, the defense asserted there was no indication for prescribing antibiotics and that if the plaintiff had an infection at the time of the emergency department visit, it would have been evident at that time, rather than when it was diagnosed a month later. The defendant claimed the wound was cleaned and examined before it was closed. The defendant claimed that at that time of that initial ED visit, the plaintiff was given a special staple remover to take to his primary care physician to minimize tissue damage during staple removal. The defendant also claimed that the plaintiff was instructed to follow up with his physician in 12 to 14 days after reevaluation, for reevaluation, and for removal of the staples. The plaintiff removed his own staples, according to the defendant, after 3 days and never followed up with his primary care physician. The plaintiff claimed that he was handed the staple remover by a nurse or a physician's assistant, who told him he could remove the staples himself. Who do you believe won this case? Think about it. The jury returned a defense verdict. This case is a good example of the defense of contributory negligence. The actions of the plaintiff contributed to the injury. This defense may be particularly effective if the plaintiff acted in a reckless way and caused his injuries. The jury tends to harshly judge people who make poor decisions. This above case that I just described to you is a good illustration of a patient whose actions, which were removing his staples and not following up with his physician, may have contributed to his poor result. I find it hard to believe that an emergency department staff member would tell a patient to remove his own staples. Do you agree? If you enjoy testing your analytical skills, you'll appreciate the value of my online training, Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening. Get the details at the show notes for this podcast at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. You will also find the show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com or on our new mobile app, BizEdu. Get the app at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu, BizEdu. The app puts in the palm of your hand all of our content, our free webinars, our blogs, our podcasts, our courses, our reports, and our videos. Get the app at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu. It's available for iPhone and Android phones. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.